We have an excited group today who have come with a great expectation because it is Tuesday noon at Cross Country Church. And, of course, we are right in the middle going toward the end, blazing out of Acts. We're in chapter 23, and we left off at verse 11. And we're going to ride right on through. Paul is just having a fantastic time preaching the gospel, ministering out here, and people just love him. And they're just in excitement that he's in their area. But also in the midst of all of that, there's always opposition where you go. And we've drawn so much from this book of Acts. And actually, as we continue to say, this book of Acts is not a completed book because the book of Acts is still being written, and we are a part of it. We're a part of that body that's been filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're yet doing what God has called us to do. So the book of Acts is not going to end when we finish, because we are the next chapters and we are the next verses, and we're fulfilling God's purpose. Just as Paul was called, we've been called with a holy calling. We're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God is going to use us in this last stage just like he used Paul and the rest to get his message across, that Jesus is still yet Lord, saving and setting people free, and moving them out of themselves and out of tradition into the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us move right on in to 23 and 11. And we are just excited. Here it says, in 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him, which is Paul, and said to him, be of a good cheer, and then call his name, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Wow. And so this was really a confirmation, because he had gotten that word that he was going to be able to go to Rome. But just because he was at a standstill right here and was going through something, the Lord reiterated the fact that he would and needed for him to continue on and to get to Rome. So I want us to understand that sometimes you may be in a situation and you say, well, I'm not doing anything right now. It's not looking like I'm going to be able to fulfill what I believe that God has called me to do. It doesn't mean that at all. Sometimes there's an in the meantime, and we have to be careful to understand that while we're at that in the meantime, that God has something for us to do even at the meantime. And so that's what we're going to find out right here, because Paul's going to have to talk to some people. And he's going to get to Rome, but guess what? On the way there, he still got to talk to some people, right?
Right.
All right, so here we go. Verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul.
Wow, that's deep right there. You ain't gonna eat or drink until you kill him.
Now, what I want to do is read this to you in the Amplified, because I want to make it plain what's going on. In the Amplified, it says, "Now when daylight came, the Jews formed a plot and bound themselves by an oath and under a curse, neither to eat nor to drink till they had done away with Paul."
Wow.
Now let's understand, Paul has been a thorn in the side of tradition and a way of threatening a lifestyle that they were accustomed to, and they didn't want change to come. Mm. All right? Mm-hmm. So now, let me just use another illustration. You got a movement going, but your movement is not going in the right direction. So somebody comes along and brings truth to power. The truth to power is that you're going in the wrong direction. Now you've already built up this group. You got money coming in. You got this movement started. But now here's somebody saying you're going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Now you are committed to believe that what you're doing is right. But then you got somebody else coming, you giving you evidence that you are wrong. So what you see here is it can go from truth to now going to a standpoint of saying, well, I don't want to change. And so I just rather get rid of you than to make the change. Yeah. All right? Let me give you another illustration. You're going down 75 South, but you want to get to Tennessee.
You're going the wrong way.
So here you are going 75 South, and you pull over, and the people say to you, you need to turn around. And you say, I've already went 125 miles already. Now you expect for me to go another 125 miles in the opposite direction to get to where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've already gone this far. And this is where we are. Paul saying, you've been going in the wrong direction for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But now all you got to do is what? Repent. All you got to do is repent and then start heading in another direction. They said, no, it's more comfortable for us to stay where we are. We'll just get rid of you. Because you the problem.
Well.
The journey is okay. We've been having a great time going this 125 miles. But it's going to be very inconvenient to back around because now I'm going to feel bad because I'm going back in the other direction. It's going to cost me more gas to go back in the other direction. So I just get rid of you.
And also, 11 is so essential because Jesus knew it was about to get serious.
Right.
He knew these folks were not going to eat.
Or drink.
Till he did.
It was real.
Now, he needed that encouragement.
Now, understand, also, when you're talking about taking an oath, that was serious as well. Now, that meant you put a lot into that to say, I take an oath that I'll die for this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's wrong.
Wow.
Even if it's wrong. So we got a lot going on here. But now, the plans of the unrighteous, they're not going to work. It may look like it. They got it, and they got this plot going. Remember previously we said when the scripture said that the weapon formed, it's not going to prosper. Here's an oath formed, but it's not going to prosper. So you can have a plan. You can even make an oath, but when you come against the word of God, it's not going to stand. Because what did the word of God not come to Paul and say, not only are you doing good here, you're going to get to Rome and do what I told you to do.
Yeah.
So even though they made the oath, and even though they're going to lose a lot of weight and eventually die holding for it, it ain't going to make a difference because what God has said going to stand. Right? Okay, so 13, and they were more than 40. Which had made this conspiracy. So you don't have five or six.
Mm-hmm.
You got pretty good. Yeah, we got a horde
gang.
Together.
Yeah, it was a gang.
The posse that all took for you young people that are listening to this. They got the posse together and everybody's in agreement. 14, and they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse." That we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.
Wow.
Now, to me, when he went to the elders and went to the chief priest, that should have been a startling thing right there. Y'all want to kill this man over this?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that y'all come up with an oath about it?
Mm-hmm.
So now this pretty heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Until we slain Paul. 15. Now, therefore, you with counsel signify to the chief captain that you bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. Now I want to read this in the Amplified so that we can get it. So now you, he's talking to the chief priests and folk. He said, so now you, along with the council, and the council there was the Sanhedrin council, all right, give notice to the commandment, to the commandant, or the guy that's in charge, to bring Paul down to you, all right, as if you were going to investigate his case more accurately. But then we, are ready to slay him before he comes near. Wow. So now they hatching the plot. Call him down. And we're going to assassinate him in new terms. Mm-hmm. We're going to assassinate him before he gets down here. Mm-hmm. Just because you remember before they took him to the barracks, right? Mm-hmm. Or the castle. Yeah. And that's where they had him. So now they done hatched this plot and took the oath. Oh. And now they done went to the captain and said, listen, get him out from where he is, because we can't get him in there. You remember last Tuesday we talked about he was in an area where they couldn't reach him. He was behind bars. They had him in safe because they already knew the folk was after him. Mm-hmm. All right? And so now this is what they hatching a plot. They hatching the plot. Mm-hmm. All right? We're going to be ready to kill him. 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their laying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Does God always have a ram in the bush?
Yes.
Just when the enemy think he got something good going on, the Lord pulls a plug on it. Right? Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man to the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. 18. So he took him. That's the centurion. Mm-hmm. So the centurion took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed or asked me to bring this young man unto you who has something to say to you. Then the chief captain took him by hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that you have to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire or ask you that you would bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. In other words, they wanted to ask him some more questions. Mm-hmm. So this is what the Jews are going to do. 21. But do not yield unto them, for there lay in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves by an oath that they would neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for the promise from thee or the request made. Because he said, they're going to ask you to bring him down so that we can talk to him. We need for you to get him out of the way, locked up, so we can, what's the word, ambush. We're going to ambush him on the way down there. We're going to assassinate him. We're going to get him. So now you see, assassination didn't just start with Kennedy and all them other people. They were still laying in wait to try to knock off those who are bringing truth.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Okay, 22. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, or spoke to him and said, see that you tell no man that thou hast shown these things to me. All right. 23. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, which is 9:00. Mm-hmm. So he's telling them, not only are we going to have a few people, we know it ain't but 40, but they could be plotting even more. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have enough to make sure that what they plotting is not going to work. All right. And provide them beasts or horses that they may sit Paul on and bring him safely unto Felix, the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner. All right. Now I'm gonna read what he wrote in the Amplified. Claudius Lysias sends greetings to his excellency Felix the governor. This man was seized as a prisoner by the Jews. Notice how he's writing this. I didn't do it. This is how he prefaces this. He said, it ain't me. It ain't me. They brought him here. Look, and was about to be killed by them when I came upon them with troops and rescued him. Listen, because I learned that he was a Roman citizen.
Okay. Uh-huh. Amen.
So now we know how he learned that he was a Roman citizen, right?
Uh-huh.
He wasn't listening to nothing until Paul had called the guard to the side and said, "Hey, don't you know the law? I'm a Roman citizen." Mm-hmm. And then when that got back to him, that's how this situation got started. Mm-hmm. But now he got this in the letter saying, "No, I ain't had nothing to do with it. They brought him in here." Mm-hmm. And so I done had to protect him because he's a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now he's setting the stage that now the governor knows what's Paul's rights. Right?
Right.
And he's saying, I'm just following things like it's supposed to be. I'm just giving you a heads up. "And wishing to know the exact accusation which they were making against him, I brought him down before their council, which was the Sanhedrin." 29. "Where I found out that he was charged in regard to questions of what?
Their own law.
Mm-hmm. "But he was accused of nothing that would call for death or even imprisonment."
Mm-hmm.
Is he getting it off of him?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Look, this thing getting a little heavy down here, because I mean, I already had to rescue the man. They trying to kill him. And so I'm sending him to you, because it done got past where I need to be getting involved." Mm-hmm. 30. And when it was told me how the Jews laid wait for him, I sent straightway to you and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell." So he says, "All I'm going to do is get him to you. Let them tell you what's going on, because I don't have nothing to do with it. It's nothing that I can say that can imprison him or kill him."
Yeah.
Because he hadn't broken any law. This is what is, this is a religious issue and not a political issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 31. "Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And on the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who then came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor." We know what epistle just means, letter.
Mm-hmm.
"To the governor, and presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Sicilia, 35, "I will hear thee," said he, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, is it setting up for something good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do we like about Paul?
He wasn't afraid.
All right, he wasn't a quitter. He wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. What else do we like about Paul?
And he gave his testimony everywhere
he went. He loved the audience.
Everywhere he went.
He loved the audience. So here we see that in the midst of what the enemy had planned out for bad, here God is going to work it out for his good.
For the good.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now he done went from a chief captain to, he done went from there, which he still done spoke to. So now he done spoke to the captain, and now he getting ready to speak to the governor.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he going from the bottom to the top. He done talked to guards. Mm. He done preached to centurions. Mm. He done preached to the captain, and now he getting ready to get before the governor.
Mm-hmm.
So just when you think you don't have nothing to say, God got somebody for you to speak to. And you have no idea how far it's going to go up the chain. Because we never know who know who.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
All right. We are now getting ready to move into chapter 24 and get right on into it. All right. "And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor or preached or taught the governor against Paul."
Against Paul, not long.
But y'all, do y'all see what's happening here? Let me read it to you in the Amplified. They going hard.
They
going in hard now.
They
going in hard. Here it is in the Amplified. It said, 5 days later, the high priest Ananias came down from Jerusalem to Caesarea with some elders and a certain forensic advocate, Tertullus, acting as a spokesman and a counsel. They presented the governor with their evidence against Paul.
Now, my Bible says lawyer.
Okay, which is even better.
It says lawyer.
It said not orator, a lawyer. We're talking about somebody that can speak in a way to win a case.
Yeah.
Right? So they saying, we don't want to just go with it our way. We bringing somebody that can, yeah, we bringing in a spokesperson. We got somebody that's gifted, that can get this thing done. All right, 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. What we got going here? Just a little prepping. He lauding some accolades to the governor. To say, yeah, we know you're a good man. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be able to judge this thing rightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep quiet stuff going on around here. You don't like a whole lot of stuff going on. We know that. You a good guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
3. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. We appreciate this good job you do, Felix. And we're expecting for you to continue this good job and keeping things quiet. Right?
Right.
He think he got it going now.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto you, I pray thee that thou wilt hear us of thy clemency a few words. He's saying, I'm not going to hold you long. Because I know you busy.
Right.
But I just got a few words here I just want to put out for you. Yeah, I'm not gonna prolong the time because I know you're a great guy.
Yeah.
You're a good guy. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews, listen, throughout the world.
Wow.
He don't just start stuff right here.
He's throughout the world.
Everywhere he go. He like let me read it to you. That. It says, for we have found this man a perfect pest or a real plague, an agitator and a source of disturbance to all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader. And a ringleader.
Ringleader.
Yeah. He stir up stuff. Ringleader of heretical division producing sects of the Nazarenes. So now he done called him out. He's saying, boy, all he do is start trouble. He's a pest. Everywhere he go, he just stirring up stuff.
Troublemaker.
Listen, number 6, who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged accordingly
to our law.
We would have got him.
Yeah, we would have got him.
But the captain came upon us and with great violence took him away, took him out of our hand. So we would have got him, man. We could have handled this before it got to you, because I know you don't have really have time to deal with all this. So we just tell you who he is, and we want to finish the job. In other words, right? 8, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself may take knowledge of all these things, wherefore we accuse him. And said, here all of us together, we done come down, so that you can know why we want to get him.
Yeah, we all in agreement.
We on one accord. He's a pest, and we would have handled this situation, but then the captain got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't know that the captain already sent the letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, and the Jews also ascended, saying that these things were so. So you got a group saying, "Amen." You got that right. Oh yeah, they out there. They, oh yeah, they, what it said? The what is it, when the crowd get into it, he got the fans in the stands saying, yeah, you're right.
Crucify him.
Yeah, get him. 10. Then Paul, after that, the governor had beckoned him or called him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Mm-hmm. Paul said, "I don't need a whole lot of folk to talk for me. I don't even need a big crowd." Mm-hmm. He said, "But I know who you are, and I think I can get this situation straightened out. Because that thou may understand that there are yet but 12 days since I came up to Jerusalem for the worship." He said, "Listen, it ain't been 12 days. I just came up here to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising the people up, neither in the synagogue or in the city." So Paul's saying, they just lied. I wasn't doing none of that. I came up here to worship, and they got fired up. "Neither can they prove these things whereof they accuse me." Mm-hmm. All right. "But this I confess before you," here come truth, "that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Mm-hmm. Now, he got him by the throat now. Mm-hmm. He said, what was he saying? He said, "I don't know about this heresy thing." He said, "But I know one thing. I came to worship the God of my fathers, and I believe what's said in the law." Now, how are they going to dispute that?
That's right.
Huh? He done hit him across the head now.
Amen.
He said, "Y'all doing all this talking. All I did was come up, and I wanted to worship the God of my fathers." Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And I believe what the law said. He said, "And gave hope toward God," mm-hmm, "which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that Sanhedrin was already fired up now, because mm-hmm, they like, no. So now that's where the dispute came from. "And wherein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man?" He said, "My attitude is to be right before God and man." Mm-hmm. He said, "Now, we got two different things going. They trying to get me for something they can't even prove. And all I did was come up here and exercise my faith."
Well, also, in what he's testifying in verse 15, when he talked about the resurrection of the righteous, but now he didn't add it, the righteous and the wicked,
the just and the unjust,
just and the unjust,
yes, mm-hmm, are going to be resurrected.
So, yeah, that will be a resurrection of the dead.
No matter whether you're righteous,
whether you right or wrong,
right, which
there will be a resurrection.
There will be a resurrection, because after the resurrection comes what?
The judgment.
Come the judgment.
Mm-hmm. The judgment.
Right. Now they saying, "Ain't nobody coming but us, cause we the righteous."
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
See, we all good. That nobody else was good beside them. They didn't want. They didn't want anybody non-Jew. They didn't want any. They weren't thinking that God was gonna rescue anybody but who?
Them.
Them.
And that's what Paul had to fight all the time. Y'all can't just have this all to yourself. God is a God of all, right?
Right.
Right.
And that's why Paul going to the Gentiles? Why you everybody is them people over there? Mm. Those folks, them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they not us. Right. And so that's what you got. That was a good point. He's saying, "Hey, that inclusive mean that everybody need to give thought about mm-hmm. their life."
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You going to be judged.
You going to be judged.
Right. So don't think that you just going to die like a dog and that's the end of it. And then some folk going to get up to go up and you just going to be dead. No.
Because because we so quick to say, now you can't judge me or you judging. Oh, that will be a judgment.
Oh, yeah. All right, 17. Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. All right. 18. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in a temple, neither with a multitude nor in confusion or strife. Right? He said, Now I was in there doing what I'm supposed to do. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had had aught against me. He's saying, this group here wasn't even in the temple when I was in there. So the people that could have said anything about what I was doing, not here. You got this group right here is coming up saying what I did, and I didn't do that. Neither were they even witness to it. Right? Mm-hmm. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. He said, and they can't say that. Because they wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Except it be for this one voice that I have cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection, what? Of the dead. I am called into question by you this day. He said, see, I only said one thing, and because I said this one thing, this whole group here is done brought me to this point. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, this chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. Mm-hmm. 22 says, but Felix, having a rather accurate understanding of the way of the Lord, mm-hmm. put them off and adjourned the trial, saying, when Lysias the commandant comes down, I will determine your case more fully. Mm-hmm. Do you think they want that to happen? Because mm-hmm. see, they don't know really that the captain got the truth. Mm-hmm. Because Paul has sent the kid to him. And plus, the captain had already sent the letter. So he's saying, I'm getting ready to bring some witness against y'all. Mm-hmm. In other words, right? Then he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, so to let him have liberty, that he should be forbade none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. So he said, look, I'm going to take him to a place where people can come to him, right? He not put him in a maximum security spot. He putting him where he can have visitors.
Okay.
He said, I'm just going to keep him away from these knuckleheads who trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. But the people that's for him, you know, he can have some of his friends come see him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Mm. I'm going to stop right there. Mm. Now, what we got going? He went from soldiers to centurions to captains to Felix. Mm-hmm. And now Felix bringing his wife over.
He wanted her to hear the word.
There's some truth out here. Mm-hmm. Right? And listen, I know it's truth because you got a whole group of people trying to squash it out. Huh?
Yes.
He said, you need to hear what he's saying. Because there's a big disturbance coming behind him, and it wouldn't be a big disturbance unless it was something to
him. And that thing upset Felix. Yes,
it did. But now just think.
Felix was upset. You know, it disturbed him.
But now the verification that the letter was true, by the way, they brought an orator and a lawyer to try to butter him up, and then to lay out a case that wasn't even valid. Because Paul got him. Paul said, if anybody was accused me, it should have been the people who were at the temple when I was at the temple. Mm-hmm. Ain't none of them here. These folk don't know. They said I was at the temple. They said I've been all around the world stirring up stuff, and they were nowhere near where I was and caused the problem. Mm-hmm. So, all this that you're accusing me of is not true. And they can't say it's true. Because there wasn't none of them there. Ask any of them where they there. Even though they did all that shouting, yeah, we here to get him. Yeah, we would have handled that case. After all of that, he said, y'all don't have no case. Mm-hmm. He said, but I'm going to have to, let me hold things off for a minute. Because there's some other stuff that need to go on. Like my wife need to hear about this. Mm-hmm. All right. As he reasoned righteousness, what else? Temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled,
was afraid. Mm-hmm.
And he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Uh-huh. 25 in the Amplified, it says, but as he continued to argue about uprightness and purity of life, or the control of passions, and the judgment to come, Felix became alarmed and terrified and said, go away for the present time. And when I have a convenient opportunity, I will send for you. Mm-hmm. 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Let me read this another version here. At the same time, he hoped to get money from Paul, for which reason he continued to send for him as in his company and converse with him often.
Mine so, say that he wanted
what's your version?
Paul to bribe him. He wanted Paul to try and bribe him with the money.
With money,
okay. Mm. To get money, for that reason he continued to send for him and was in his company and conversed with him often. What can we draw from that?
Okay, I'm confused. Felix wanted Paul to give him money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Felix wasn't all that righteous.
He wasn't convinced.
Righteous or governor.
Even after hearing about the way, Felix wasn't convinced.
He was distorting the situation.
Well, I want you to see what's happening. Everybody that heard the first time don't always get it. So he said, all right, you hit me where it hurt. I'm going to need some money. So it ain't took yet. So now after ministering to him a little bit more as it goes along, we see what happened. All right. After 2 years, Procius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And I don't have finished it. We can't get into 25 because
so this guy succeeded Felix.
But
after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Now, did he leave him bound for 2 years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So somebody succeeded. Felix left office.
Right.
Somebody else took over.
Right. And Paul is still in bondage.
But while Felix was still in office, he left Paul bound.
Right. Because he's still.
So the other person left. The other person.
When he comes in, Paul's still in the situation.
Okay.
Now, if Paul probably would have gave him money, he may have.
He would have let him go.
Yeah.
He may have let him go. He may have let him go if he gave him a little under the table money.
Right. But again, the word of God ain't to be bought.
No.
Right.
Well, when you buy into that, you don't know what you're going to get. He could have kept on asking him for more money.
Right.
And that's normally what distorters do. Mm-hmm. It's always more money, and you never get your goal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They do that today.
But what came to me in this is that, you know, I used to think about the Jews as, you know, that we would always say the Jews are God's chosen people. And what stood out to me today is chosen for what? And then it went back and said, the gospel was presented to the Jews first. Mm-hmm. But they were chosen to spread the word. But these certain groups want to keep it for themselves and promote themselves over everybody. But God chose them to go out. Go ye therefore and spread the word to all nations. Mm-hmm. That was the gist. And that's what came to me right now, the revelation. They were chosen for that, not to keep it to themselves or make themselves above everybody in the law and just become fat off of it because we're his chosen people. It was given to them to spread out.
It was a pride
thing. Yes.
In any other perspective, because there's some more in this that I want us to see.
I think if Paul had paid him money, it would look, maybe to me, it looked like he guilt or something. Dishonest.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, you know, a lot of people get just a parking ticket and they get to pay somebody
to get it off.
Their name.
Well, if you got a good lawyer, you can get it off. I'm just saying.
If you don't, you won't.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I look at it from a different perspective. All right. I look at it from the perspective that all need salvation, even those who feel like they are called. We all have frailties. We all got issues. Mm-hmm. And so even though they were the chosen one, they still, as the law presented them, they needed it.
Yes.
They needed it. Their righteousness wasn't that righteous. See, even though they were trying to brag and stand up the fact that they had it and all of that, they were in most desperate need of salvation. So no matter who come up and say, I'm rich, I'm this, I'm related to this one, I'm a lawyer, I'm a judge, I'm this, I'm that, it doesn't matter. You got faults, you got situations, and in the right moment, a mirror can come up and guess what? It gonna show you who you are. Right? So here these Jews, did that not show, even though they had the promise, even though they had all of that, they going to take an oath and say they not going to eat or drink till they kill somebody? Isn't that not in there, do not kill? Right? So now all of a sudden, they done went from, I'm so righteous, to going right against the law. So that's the way I look at it. I look at it like what Betty said, they had the call to, if I give it to you, Rose, you supposed to give it to somebody else, but you say, oh, no.
He chose me.
Oh, no, I got this thing.
I'm
going to be some great one. Let the people come to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just going to kind of
dole it out.
I dole it out.
And they still have that attitude today. They still feel that they're the chosen ones, but they don't realize why God chose them. He could have chosen a rock to spread his word. He could have chosen anybody, but he chose them to spread the word and get it out to the people, not to get fat off of it or just keep it. You know, you just stuff yourself with the word. You know, it's all for you. And all their legalisms and everything they made was based on the fact that I'm so great and not giving it out.
I got a question. If God had picked the Samaritans to be it,
they probably would have done it.
Would they have acted any different?
They probably would.
If God had picked any other nationality to say, you're going to be my chosen people, do you think they would have acted different?
Because we're human. That's the human. That's exactly the flesh part.
Black.
Portion.
I think so, because they weren't privy to all the instructions and teachings of the law. They weren't, so to say, contaminated with all that. Remember, the Good Samaritan was a Samaritan.
Right.
And the two previous people who passed that man on the road were priests. They were priests. Mm-hmm. Because they were so under the law that they couldn't touch, they're not to touch anybody that is dead or
Right.
So the Samaritan, when he saw him, his compassion just went because he wasn't under all of that law and all those restrictions. I believe that they would have, such as the woman in the well, who received so freely.
So let us understand it is not that it's about all of that being so holy and all of that. It's about when God brings that revelation that you receive it.
That's right.
But I also look at how many times God presented his word to them through Paul, the Sanhedrins, the Pharisees, the Jews, because he kept giving his testimony in their presence.
But is, but does that not show long suffering?
Yes, it does.
Yes,
huh?
It does.
That
he
does that.
He had passion for his people. He loved his people. Says it in scripture how much he loved his people, that he wanted him. He had the same similar as Jesus wept over Jerusalem,
right?
And
passion,
weeping for his people. Once he got the revelation, y'all got to come and get this.
Right,
you got to open up and see. But you know, the Sanhedrin, just like, you know, they were the glorified religious leaders. I mean, they were glorified, they were honored, they were like the Supreme Court,
right?
You know nobody touches them. Whatever they say, that's it. You know, and Pharisees were little pimps, you know, all they were doing was pimping off of people.
Oh yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So you had all that, you know.
And God was still reaching out to them.
Yeah.
They didn't care less about religion because they imposed so many laws. You remember, there's over 600 laws.
Right.
Under.
Right.
Wow. As Rose said, you know, she said, Paul was just preaching his little heart out, and they didn't get it. But we can come to today. Pastor Walker preaches our word, and some of us still sit there and don't get it. Mm-hmm. We still go out the same way that we came in. We operate in the flesh and don't operate in the spirit. We can hear a good message lead there, and then the flesh takes over. It won't last but 1 minute or 1 second, so we don't get it either.
That's so true.
We'll get it.
He said
it.
Some don't get it.
Right.
Sunday.
We will operate in the flesh. You done heard
he
that good spirit, and you go out.
Some are sitting up here, and you're not getting it.
Right. He knew. He's been here. He knows that some are not. Yeah, that's why he over. Yeah. He has compassion because he does it every Sunday. He gives us a good message in the spirit every Sunday.